and 3.64 billion people got killed. 3.64 billion people got killed. And the value of the property destroyed would pay for a golden belt around the world. Do you know what the length of the around the world is? 29,400 miles. 29,400 miles. How wide, how deep? The width is 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. Golden belt around the world. That much money has been lost. Why do we fight? Why do we have a war with one another? Bible reveals the truth. Go keep your finger in John chapter 14. Go to James. James chapter 4, please. Verse 1 says, where do wars and the fight come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that wars war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Ask to who? To our God. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Covetousness. Our neighboring nation has something that we don't have. So why don't we go get it? If they fight, if they resist, we'll just clobber them. That's the idea. Yet our idea of peace and God's idea of peace are completely different. As a matter of fact, they are not even in the same dimension. Peace, people see quiet and tranquil scenery like this one from Lake Tahoe and consider it beautiful. This one is a Grand Teton. It's one of my bucket list locations. It's beautiful. It's full, right? So let me ask you this. So do people really find the peace when they go to these two places? Where it's quiet, peaceful? When they have a turmoil, let's think with me. Let's say you have a turmoil in your hand, in your heart. And you go to that place, all of a sudden that turmoil goes away. Correct? In other words, circumstance, scenery, location, has nothing to do with the peace in your heart. Am I correct? Has everything to do with what's inside, not what's in the outside. However, God's peace is much different. You might have a terminal illness, yet you can have complete peace of God. You might face a life-threatening situation from a criminal or the terrorist, yet you can have a complete peace of God. You might be in the middle of the financial meltdown, personal, your company, or national. Yet, you have a complete peace of God. We should not confuse, tranquility with the peace of God. Tranquility depends on the circumstances in our emotional situations. But the peace that comes from our God alone has nothing to do with our situation at all. Rather, it has everything to do with our God's promises and faithfulness. You follow me? Nothing to do with the situation but God's promises and faithfulness. Let's stop and pray. Father, many people around the world, just about everybody around the world, like to have a but they do not find or they reject. Because we found the peace in through Jesus Christ, we want that peace all the time. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of challenge and trials, we can still find the peace because our peace originates from you. Father, teach us that we may know the Prince of Peace. Father, we pray that our heart always run to you because you are great and mighty God who is slow to anger. Father, we are asking you to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we pray that your word speak to us this morning. You anoint our hearts that we may, and you anoint the one who speaks. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. They may be obedient to you and do what is right in your sight to bring glory to you. And we pray for the uniformed personnel, our soldiers and airmen and Marines. Father, we also pray for the law enforcement personnel. Another police officer got killed. Speak to their families and give them the peace that comes from. Verse 25 in chapter 14 in book of John, please. John 14. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. Note that, please. Your remembrance, all things that I have said to you. I want you to underline, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It is very important. In the original Greek word, it's a little bit different. The second half of the verse 26, it says, it will read, bring to your remembrance all things I said to you when you have a major Green Valley moment. We forget things a lot, don't we? We walk out the door and we stand in the middle of the track and we look at ourselves, think about why are we here for? And that's not uncommon. So how did the author of the gospel remember Jesus' teaching after many years from his death and resurrection? For example, book of John is written around AD 60. From the death of Jesus Christ, which is AD 33, to the AD 60, it's how many years? 30-some years. When was the last, okay, let me ask you. What did I teach last Sunday? Any of you remember? It's been only 7 days, guys. You cannot even remember 7 days of all the teaching, let alone trying to remember 30 years old teaching. How can they remember? Holy Spirit bringing them to the remembrance. I'm sure that you have had that kind of situation. When you witness to someone, and as you speak to them about Jesus Christ, and one verse after it was popping up in your heart, and you speak, and more coming up, and you're thinking, wow, this is so cool. I sounds like a Bible teacher. I'm better than that guy who speaks broken English in the church. I need to record this. Of course, that is not you. That is the Holy Spirit bring all things that you learn to remembrance. And you may say, well, okay, that's a good excuse. I don't have to memorize the Bible verses that the preacher brings to me every week. Well, I'm sure the Holy Spirit will bring it to my remembrance. Guys, you have to put something in to bring it up. Right? You have to make an effort to memorize things so you can remember. You cannot just expect that, oh, Bible, I got a Genesis there, Revelation there, I got it all, and Holy Spirit's going to remind me. It's not going to work. Please notice the word all things in verse 26. Teaching and reminding are two of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Teaching and reminding are the two of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through who? His Spirit, or Holy Spirit. For the Spirit search all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Folks, You know this. The Bible in your hand, on your lap, is the Word of God, the voice of God, the teaching, concise and truthful teaching of God's Word. When you put this in your heart, you grow in the Lord. When you don't put this in your heart, guess what? You're gonna do the same thing what you've been doing. Sinful things. Maybe you grappled with a certain problem. Then as you're reading the Bible one day, a verse suddenly jumped off the page and got hold of your complete attention and spoke to you. As it though that particular Bible verse is just written for you, you've never seen it before, all of a sudden somebody wrote it inside your Bible and speak to you and minister to you. And you're wondering, how that happened? Haven't I seen this before? I've never seen it. It's there. It's speaking to me. Or you're sitting there and whatever I speak, somehow you're thinking, that's for me. That's my situation. How does he know? Did he read my email? Yes, I've been reading your email. No, I have no idea. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through me. God will cater to all of the teachings if you choose to listen to it. Holy Spirit is our personal Bible and life teacher 24/7. Do you know the key of the Him being your personal teacher? What's the key? You have to let Him. You cannot just say, I'm sure He will speak to me. Well, you have to let Him speak to you. You have to hear from Him. Go down to verse 27, our memory verse, please. Peace I give, live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I find the three important points we must heed. Number one, Jesus is the one who gives us His, not anybody's peace, it's God's peace. Number two, Jesus' peace is not the same as the world idea of peace, which has no lasting capacity, and it strictly depends on the individual emotionals. Did you get that? A lot of times, people say they're having peace. Why? Because they are not in commotion. They are not in trouble. They are not in difficulties. They said, I'm doing good until something hit the fan. And all of a sudden, you're falling apart. I've seen people falling apart, and I pointed out to him, hey, bro, do you think it has something to do with Satan's attack? Oh, yeah. Not everything belongs to Satan's attack. But there is could be you serving God, you're honoring God in your life. Maybe there might be a resistance from your enemy. Yes. Or somebody who does not like you because you're a Christian. Have you had that kind of situation before? Because you're a Christian, they're your co-worker or your family member don't like you. You haven't said anything bad about them or to anybody else, yet they don't like you. Maybe that's from when you have a turmoil comes to your heart. Then you rely on the what you know. Third point. With Jesus' peace, we don't have to be afraid and have our heart be troubled. With Jesus' peace, doesn't mean that you are completely out of the trouble. The peace which the world offers us is the peace of escape. Avoiding any type of trouble, even if you have to compromise your standard and embrace your enemy. Let me make an example. You're working in a company, and there is a pressure. With peer pressure, or you're going to school. There are peer pressure. Well, everybody's doing it. There's a mom saying, right? Remember? If everybody jump off the cliff, what are you going to do, right? You're going to do the same thing? God is asking you the same thing. Okay, everybody's doing it. So are you going to do the same? Or are you going to do what my son did? But the peace which Jesus offered to us, offer us, is the peace of a conquest. No experience of life can ever take it from us. No sorrow, no danger, no suffering could take it, ever make it less. This kind of peace is a completely foreign concept to those who are not born again Christians. If you are not born again Christian, you don't have this peace. I'm going to explain to you. It's not the power of positive thinking. There's a lot of New Age people, just about every New Age people and the followers said, think positively. There are even Christians who think that don't confess anything negative. Have you ever heard that? Don't say, I'm sick. Well, you're dripping all over and you're coughing your head off and you're telling me that you're not sick? Really? Just say, I'm sick and take a medication or ask God to heal you. Have the elders in the church to anoint you with the oil and ask them to pray for you. It's not about the positive thinking. It is not the feeling that we have to conjure up or circumstance we have to be in. It deals with the inner person. It strengthens our spirit with His word and faithfulness. God's peace gives us the inner calmness in the midst of a tempestuous outer storm. You can be in the midst of absolute disaster. You can still have a peace. Keep your finger in John 14. Go to Philippians chapter 4, please. This is another great verse to memorize. Philippians 4. 7, please. I often quote this when I pray for the... I'm sure you have many different versions, but I want you to read that verse 7 with me. Chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Do you see anywhere it says God will change the circumstance so you can be out of that trouble? Does it say that? What does it say? That it will guard your heart. You might be in absolute chaos still, but still you have the peace comes from God that surpasses all understanding. There are two kinds of peace you can have from our God. Number one, peace with God. Number two, peace of God. Let me explain. We cannot, absolutely cannot have the peace of God until we have peace with God. Let me say it one more time. We cannot have peace of God until we have a peace with God. What do I mean? When we were not born again Christian, we were the enemies of God. Colossians, from the one book to your right, from the Philippians, Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians 1, 21. Verse 21, chapter 1. And you who once were alienated in what? Enemies in your mind by wicked words, now He has reconciled. When we sing worship and praise song here with the leadership of our Pastor Al, some of us lift up our hands. And just in case you think it's a sacrilegious and it's unbiblical, as a matter of fact, it's very, very biblical for you to raise your hand. It's not uncool for you to raise your hand. I know some of you don't even clap hands. And when you clap hands, it's offbeat all the time. That's fine. I don't care if you're playing, doing offbeat, that's fine. But at least you're clapping your hand. And you may say, that's unbiblical. Turn your attention, read the book of Psalms. There you will see clapping hands, lift up your hands to in worship of God. Why are you thinking? Well, show me. I'm glad you asked. Psalm 134, please. Psalm 134, verse 2. Verse 2. Let's read it together. Lift up your hands in where? Wow, what a concept. If you have a blood coming from the Baptist church, you say, we are not supposed to. exciting the church. And we are supposed to look like you just drank a gallon of lemon juice. Nobody died here. We should be excited about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Lift up your hand. Worship the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. When we lift up our hands, we do it for two reasons. Number one, we in adoration to our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, in surrender to our Lord Jesus. What are we surrendering? When we surrender our will to His will, we do it in His terms, not ours. Did you get that? When you surrender, the one, okay, bad guy, and the police officer, freed, raise your hand. You raise your hand. What does it mean? I'm not going to do anything. I'll follow your direction. Am I correct? Cops has a complete term. He can tell the bad guy to do what needs to be done next moment. If bad guy says, I'm not going to do that. Guess what? If cop is upset, they can fry you with a taser. By the way, it is not a pretty sight when they fry you with a taser. I've seen the guy doing swan dive face first. When we surrender in terms, on terms of God, not our own. The one who surrender cannot demand their way. Rather, leave everything at the mercy of the one who received the surrender. And our God is, guess what? He's not a twisted individual. He is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice of God, a broken spirit and broken and contrite heart, this, O God, you will not despise. When we surrender ourselves to Jesus on His terms, we can truly have a peace with God. We are no longer the enemies of God, but we become His. What a change and blessing that is, right? And from the enemies of God to His children, joint heirs with Christ, as is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The believers of Jesus Christ can immerse themselves into the peace of God in spite of the trials and tribulations because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. People in the world walk by sight, depend on the external. But our Christians walk by faith and depend on the eternal God. Those who have not made a peace with God through Jesus Christ will never be able to experience peace of God in their heart. Let me say it one more time. If you're not born again Christian, you do not have peace with God. I don't care how religious you are. You can be in this church every day, every Sunday, every Thursday. But if you're not born again Christian, you do not have a peace. That means you do not have a peace of God. People in the world cannot understand. People in the world have a constant anxiety in their hearts, and they may fill them with the works, relationship with the people, alcohol, drugs, sex, and many other things. Nothing will help them until they surrender themselves to our Lord. I like what Charles Spurgeon, famous British preacher of 19th century, said, little faith will take your soul to heaven, salvation, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I love that. When you have a peace of God, your heart can become a heaven on earth as you commune with the Lord. And let's go down to verse 28. Jesus speaking, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Why should Jesus' disciple and we rejoice that because Jesus returned to the Father? Because His return to the Father made possible His wonderful intercessory ministry on our behalf as our great high priest in heaven. Check this out, guys. We have the Holy Spirit, the helper, within us. Agreed? If you are born again Christian, you have a Holy Spirit within you. And the Jesus, our Savior, above us as an intercessor next to the throne room and next to the throne of God the Father. And then the Word of God before us. What a tremendous resource we have. You have three resources on top of all. When we pray, God the Father, listen. Have you ever talked to someone? Yet you're really pouring your heart to that person. They're checking out their phone and start to giggle. In other words, they're not listening to you. I talked with somebody. I no longer talk to that person because I fear that that person don't listen. When he finishes speaking, that's the end of it. That person chooses not to listen to me. I talk to that person, he's drinking water. In other words, I'm done, I'm leaving. Our God, as when you start to pray, He is all ears. He gives you full attention. And you're thinking, how's that possible? What if my wife is praying? My husband is praying too. He can do that because He's God. We only have one attention, one person at a time, right? And then the lady saying, well, we can do a multifunction. Not like God. Like, let's go back. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you if you love me, and you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Okay. This is the portion where Jehovah's Witness and Mormons get excited. And they say, well, see, you see, this statement says that Jesus Christ is inferior. This statement referred to the position, not the essence. Jesus was speaking from the standpoint of His humanity, the incarnate state He assumed in order to fulfill the purpose of redemption. The numerous statements in the Gospel that God the Father had sent Him confirmed that Jesus was acting under authority and was obligated to fulfill the Father's command. Folks, listen carefully. The Trinity is co-equal in all essence, all senses except their positions. God the Father is not better than Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit is not less than God the Son, Jesus Christ. They are co-equal, co-eternal, and God only wise. Be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Verse 30, please. I will no longer talk much with you, for the rulers of this world is coming. Underline that portion. The rulers of this world. He has nothing in me. Underline, the rulers of the world is coming and He has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gives me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. I love the way that Jesus said about the Satan here. Even though Satan is the ruler of the world in New King James, and the prince of this world in King James and the New International Version, Satan has nothing to Jesus Christ and nothing in Him. Jesus has no fear of Satan, but Satan does have all the fear of Jesus. I'm going to give you a tip for you, those who go through addiction problem. When you get tempted, not only the addiction problem, when you get attacked in your heart, call out the name of Jesus. There's a power in the name. I met a young man at the men's conference a few years ago. I prayed with him. He said he has a problem with the pornography. I forgot about him. I met him again last year on Saturday morning. We was eating breakfast together. He said, "Remember me?" I was thinking, "No, I can barely remember what I had yesterday." Anyway, he said, "You prayed for me last year." I asked him, "What did I pray for you?" And he said, "You prayed for my pornography. And you also told me how to fight against the pornography, the temptation. And you told me, cry out to God and call on the name of God and ask for help." I asked him, I fought. Remember, Peter was sinking into the water. What did he do? Did he come up with all this chant? Did he come up with a long prayer? He simply said, "Lord, help." How difficult is that? It requires two things, folks. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. Submit to God. Call out the name of Jesus Christ. And resist the devil. If you are in the situation, if you are in front, you have a pornography problem. By the way, 68% of male, Christian male, are into pornography. You're sitting in front of a computer and clicking, and you are in the near the porno website. You get tempted. Maybe it's a good idea. You call out the name of Jesus Christ. Don't sit there in front of a computer. Maybe you should get up and walk away. Resist the devil. Are you with me on that? If you're an alcoholic, don't go into the big cooler in front of your cool, that big size cooler, and looking at all of these six packs. "Lord, I need help." That helps, right? Maybe, "Lord, I need help. I'm out of there." Submit to God. Say it with me. Submit to God. Resist the devil. The word of God is so practical. How did the fear start? Fear is the instinct as old as Adam. Go to Genesis chapter 3, please. The first book of the Bible. Genesis 3. You don't have to worry about going to Denny's. We have a picnic. All you can eat. After the teenagers, we may not have all we can eat. Verse 9. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they suddenly became self-conscious and covering them. Since then, cover-up began with the fall of mankind. And have been used to hide the guilt ever since. If you have a hidden sin, it actually is not hidden sin to our God. Whatever you're hiding here is open scandal in heaven. Are you with me? Everybody in heaven knows. How about that? Confess it to the Lord and make it right with Him. Don't try to cover it up. Whenever you cover up your sin, there is more power to pull you down. If you confess, that sin, temptation, no longer have the power. Satan can have a good hold on us if we choose to hide sin in our heart. They are saying, give a Satan an inch and he will become a ruler. Ain't that the truth? We are literally giving him a foothold to oppress us. Some of you might have a fear of death. Many people do. Again, death comes from the fall of mankind, and Jesus conquered death with his death and resurrection, the last enemy. I like the way Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll just read it to you. So when the discorruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying, it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades. The sting of death is a sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus. Jesus overcame death and Satan with his resurrection. We born-again Christians no longer have to live in the fear of death because we too will have a resurrection. Are you with me? Three applications. Number one, the peace of God does not grant us exemptions from storms of life, but promises us the power and the faithfulness of Jesus to weather any. Second application, when we put our problems in God's hand, He put His peace. Let me say it one more time. When we put our problems in God's hand, He put His peace in our hearts. Third application, sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes God let the storm rage. I wish He does the first one all the time. But the problem is, we don't grow when everything goes our way. Am I right?